5 minutes past 9. Steve Powers here. Our phone number, 489-1155. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We'll be taking open phones for another 5 minutes or so, and then I want to introduce you to a gentleman by the name of Shri Chin Moy. He's a spiritual leader for a group of people both in the United States and worldwide. He is what you would call a guru, so now it's your opportunity to speak directly with a guru. There's a lot of things I like about him, but one thing I like about him is that we can talk about, I guess, everyday problems that we all have, and find out if there's a possible spiritual solution to them, or perhaps a spiritual approach to everyday problems. Maybe we will get lofty at times in our discussion. We'll try to keep our feet firmly on the ground at all times, and you can guarantee that by simply joining us at 489-1155, and we'll do that in about 5 minutes from right now. You're live on WMCA. We'll take a short break, and you are, and let me introduce you to Shri Chin Moy. I guess you could call him, in our parlance, a teacher of meditation and spiritual matters. He's called a guru. He has people who follow him. He's very well learned in the whole spiritual aspect. But I also find he has his feet firmly on the ground. So I guess we can start out by saying is you don't believe that people should lead the total monastic spiritual life, but should live a life in this world, but with spiritual overtones, if you will, huh?
Spirituality is the acceptance of life. If it is true spirituality, then one has to accept life. God has accepted us. He has created us, and He has accepted us as His very own. Mm-hmm. Now, if we want to pray to God, meditate on God, then we must know that we are doing all that in order to have Him. But if you do not accept Him, then how can you have Him? So each individual on earth is representing God. If we want to approach God, then we have to accept man as such. But just because we are not perfect, we have to try to become perfect so that God can utilize us in His own way.
Well, what do you think of the religious groups that advocate withdrawal? Some of the groups that don't advocate going out into the world and having a job and perhaps a family and the rest, but total withdrawal of the world.
Well, unfortunately, I cannot see eye to eye with them. Mm-hmm. But today they are afraid of the society, of the community. Tomorrow they may be afraid of their own minds, the mind that they have, doubting mind, suspicious mind. Their own mind may create problem for them. Today they are trying to escape. Who escapes? A thief escapes. You are not going to escape. I am not going to escape. We have not stolen anything.
We can try from time to time, I think, though, you know.
But that we do that not in order to escape, but we feel a kind of inner loneliness. That loneliness is good. We feel that something is missing or someone is missing, and God, our beloved Supreme, is missing. So we try to discover Him again.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the people who don't believe in God, but believe in a rational way of life and seem relatively content in the way they live their life without the concept of God taking part?
They do not have to think of God, they do not have to believe in God, but they do believe in something. Mm. And we who believe in God know that God is omnipresent, He is omniscient. But in their case, if they say that there is no such thing as God, no God, no God, mm, then we say that then what is the thing that you feel that exists on earth, then they cannot term it. And they said, that thing that you cannot term, the thing that according to you is nameless, for us is God. Our God is omnipresent. He's everywhere.
There are a lot of people, though, who believe that there is nothing there. They feel, well, they were biologically brought into this world. Everything happens either by coincidence or accident or planning. And then they live a certain number of years, their cells die, wear out, and then they die and they go back to ashes. I would call it a totally non-spiritual view of the hereafter,
May I say that?
And I think that view is gaining in our society.
I used to say at this point that nothing is also something for us. They say nothing, nothing. Let them say nothing. Let them repeat the word nothing. And inside that nothing, they will get something. We say that there is nothing, nothing. Nothing, nothing. And for 5 minutes, if you repeat the word nothing, then that nothing becomes part and parcel of our life. And inside that nothing, everything grows. There should be a seed. Then there will be a plant. The seed will germinate into a plant. And then it will be tree, banyan tree. If there is no cause, how can there be an effect?
Mm-hmm.
There should be, as the source. Now, there should be something as the source. They may call it nothing. We will say, all right, you call it nothing, we will call it the divine source, the supreme source. They may not call God, but they may call nothing. And we will say that nothing is our God.
I think there are people, perhaps some of those in the group I just mentioned, and a lot of other people who look out in the world now and see, I think rightfully so, an awful lot of chaos. They see a lot of man's inhumanity to man in everyday events, nothing even cataclysmic, but just the way people treat one another, perhaps in a subway or perhaps on the job or perhaps within a family. And wonder whether religion is the answer to these kinds of problems. They're having problems perhaps paying for their heating bill, having problems with their boss, having problems with their wife, having problems with their children, afraid of being mugged.
Religion as such is not the answer and cannot be the answer, for religions fight. I say my religion is better than your religion. You say your religion is better than my religion. Religions quarrel and wrangle. But prayer, proper prayer and proper meditation do not fight. So spirituality, the proper spirituality will not find fault with any religion. Religion is a house. You stay in your house, I stay in my house. Then we go to school to study together. Here the school is our goal. There we get our inner knowledge, supreme knowledge. So religion as such is not the answer, but spirituality is the answer. Spirituality means here soulful prayer and soulful meditation.
Yeah, one of the problems I think people have is sometimes they pray or they meditate or perhaps they're just being good, if you will, whatever form it may take for them. And they go out into the world and they find chaos and they find that there is a person lurking there ready to rip them off, that the sharks are circling them constantly. And I think they come back and say, what good is it if I am kind and I am good and benevolent, if I go out and the sharks take a chunk out of me and apparently prosper as a result of it? I think that's one of the dilemmas that modern man has, that the people who do rip them off oftentimes prosper. And they see no justice.
There is justice. Only we do not know what God's justice is. At times, God uses his compassion power to show us his justice. His justice and his compassion power are inseparable. When the Christ told the world, or said to his Father, to forgive humanity, it was his supreme justice. Here, on the strength of his oneness, with humanity, he said, Father, forgive them. Now here, if you are one with humanity, and there is justice, God's compassion justice. And again, if you pray and meditate to God for protection, to illumine mankind, we go out and people attack us. We are assailed by undivine people. Now we can early in the morning pray not only for our protection, but also for the illumination of unlit people. So if you can pray for the undivine people, and while you are praying for our own protection, then this world of darkness, chaos, may not or cannot last as it is.
You're telling me it's the direct result of prayer.
Prayer solves all our problems.
Mm-hmm.
But only thing is, we cannot expect immediate result. Everything takes time, and God has his own choice.
But don't you think that there are a lot of people who are living in very difficult circumstances who do pray, and they watch their children fall prey to drugs and crime and all sorts of abuses in the society?
Now, unfortunately, here we feel that this is our only life. Some people believe that this is incarnation is the first and last. But we do not know what we have done in previous incarnations. We believe in reincarnations. Mm-hmm. There is something, Sanskrit word, karma, the law of action. Who knows what we did in our previous incarnations? And now we are totally oblivious of our previous deeds. Sometimes you do something wrong, and in a few years' time, we pay the penalty. We were not aware of what we did 3 years or 4 years
ago. I have enough problem with this life, never mind paying a penalty for a previous goof I might have made. Let's take a short break now. Would you like to take some calls from the audience?
Yes, please.
Wonderful. All right, we'll take a short commercial break, and then 489-1155. 24 past 9. Steve Powers with Shri Chinmoy and you at 489-1155. Good morning. You're live on WMCA.
Good morning. I'd like to ask this gentleman a question, and I want to assure you I do it with the greatest respect because I am a believer in a deity.
I think you can ask it without respect. He's here to answer your question, so go ahead with it.
But the reason I do this is because I want him to know, first, that I believe in a deity. And the reason that I ask is because I have gone over this for myself. I want to know why he says, when he speaks of God, why he uses the pronoun he, why he says him. Does he believe the spirit that he's speaking of is masculine?
Mm-hmm.
For me, God is both masculine and feminine. But if we have to term him, say, God masculine, the Christ taught us Father. All the time he referred to Heavenly Father. So when he said Father, I'm sure definitely he included the feminine aspect also. God is Father, Mother, brother, sister, everything.
It's really tough.
If I like to use the term Father, which pleases me most, and if the spirit, the term, pleases you most, then you are at perfect liberty to do so. It is God wants us to be happy in our own way.
I think on a practical level, you don't have a heck of a lot of choice. It's either he or she or it. And I guess either he or she would be more acceptable to it.
God, in fact, does not have a name being totally unique. I may be Jane Smith, and the person across the street may have the same name.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, if he,
there
if he,
be many Jane Smiths,
yeah.
But I feel since I feel very deeply that there is only one deity, I feel that deity is so unique as not to have a name.
Well, then, since it has no name, you have no problem, because then you don't have to deal with it as a he or she or anyway. Just simply don't mention it. You're live on WMCA.
Hello, Steve. I'd like to ask the guru something. I'd like to know, in my I was brought up in my daily life to help have God help me attain the things that I want out of life, you know? But now I find, after 50 years, that now God is asking me, you know, like, ask not what God can do for you, but what can you do for God? And I find that after everything is ruined for me, I don't have any of the things I wanted, but now God is asking me, well, you know, think of what you can do for God, and use yourself for God. Let him use me, you know, for his instrument.
In other words, you feel that you haven't gotten enough from God, and he is demanding too much of you.
Right, now... Mm-hmm.
Let's get a reply to that.
God cannot demand something more than we can offer him. Let us think of a child and a mother. The mother will not place a heavy load on the shoulder of the child if mother knows how much the child can carry, even an ordinary human earthly mother. If the mother sees the load is too heavy for him, then the mother will not place that heavy load on the child's shoulder. So God is our eternal Father, Mother. He is everything to us. How can he demand of us something that we cannot do?
You think she's accepting too much burden in this case, huh?
Yes, on her own. It is not that God is imposing on you. God does not impose. He is natural. He is spontaneous.
Let's take a short break.
A person can make a good living.
We're going to take a short break for news, and then we'll get back to it. Let's continue with our calls for Shri Chinmoy. You're live on WMCA. Oh,
good
morning.
Good morning. I would like to ask your guest, if there's no business like God business, especially as we don't have to have a product and we can dish it out just as we like and write our own book if necessary.
Mm-hmm.
I hear this gentleman must have come from some place in India.
Mm-hmm.
One thing about America, it's very rich in the clergy. It has plenty of it and of every kind. And there's no reason to ever be without anything here as far as the clergy is concerned. Tell me, if he's a man of God, why did he leave the people of India who really and truly need help of any kind, spiritual and any other kind? Why did he leave that country that needs it so badly to come to the richest country and perhaps the richest city in the world that really doesn't need it at all? And how has he gone up in the scale in his material life since he left his own country and came here?
All right, that's a fair question.
I feel sorry for you. You're unlike me. Your world is very small. This is God's creation. India and America and Europe, these are all God's creations. So being a child of God, I think if the father wants the child to move from one place to another and stay there for some time, I don't see anything wrong in it.
Mm-hmm.
India belongs to God, America belongs to God, like two houses. But if father asks his son, go and live now in another house, then the son must obey. And this India's poverty, I as an individual, what can I do? Nobody can save India's poverty or nobody can save world's catastrophe. It is God alone who can. It is his creation and he will do it. But as far as I am concerned, I only obey his command. He asked me to come here to serve you people in the West. Tomorrow he may ask me to go back to India and serve again my countrymen. For me, there is no such thing as India or America. For me, only there is one thing, God's creation, entire creation. So I abide by his will. And
I think you're answering the question in truth, and I don't know whether the question was asked as directly as perhaps the woman wanted, but I'm going to rephrase the question because I think what she really wanted to know was, and her question would be, didn't you come to the United States in order to make money rather than to tend a spiritual flock? I think that's what her question was. I don't know why she didn't ask it that way.
Well, then, first of all, believe it or not, I do not charge for anything. I have no set fee, and I entirely depend on my disciples' donation. And then I have written considerably. I have written over 300 books. God is there to take care of me, and I have not come to the West to become a multimillionaire.
From a spiritual aspect, what do you think of the gurus who do come to this country and do set up big businesses, almost become part of the guru industry, if you will, live in mansions, fly in private planes, have their limousines, have their flock selling merchandise out in the streets? Do you think that's part of the discipline?
As far as I'm concerned, I will not do that. But I do not know, and I cannot say why they are doing
it. I didn't mean to put you in conflict with them, but I'm really just trying to get your views. That's all.
The only thing, if money power could have realized God, then by this time all rich people would have realized. If money power is the only factor to make one realize God, then there will be no rich man on earth unrealized.
Mm-hmm.
So money power and spirituality do not go together. Again, money is not a bad thing. How utilize it? If it is for a good cause, then money is a blessing. But if it is to dominate others or to make the rest of the world insignificant, insecure, then money power is here again destructive.
Again, I don't mean this in order to draw a line between you and another religious sect or group or whatever you'd want to label it, but there's been much controversy over Reverend Sun Myung Moon, and without specifically getting into his religious beliefs or what have you, I was wondering if you'd comment as far as a religious leader separating children from their families.
I will be the last person to separate the children from their family. And whenever I accept minors, I have accepted a few seekers, I ask the seekers to bring special permission, written permission from their parents when they are minors. But when they are grown up and the parents do not have the legal, say, way of
control
of the children, then I accept them.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're minors, I have at least 10 disciples who have got special written permission from their parents. I think it is not advisable to take the children away from their parents.
Let's take a short break and then we'll go back to our phones. You're live on WMCA.
I'm glad I tuned in and can accept your speaker's spiritual truth. Now, I would like to know, after I had a deeper study of a religion for about 7 years, which brought a closer relationship to God, and I tried to see the good in everyone around me, always seeing them as God's spiritual good children. At this time, we lost a son in an auto accident who also studied this religion. How can I accept this in my life? Is God's plan, or is this the thanks for being good? And I was trying to do good at this time, taking care of someone whom only a nurse could take care of.
Mm-hmm.
And I did the same, God, only for you can I do this. It's not my work, but I can do any labor, no matter how bad it is.
Before I get the answer from Sri Chinmoy, what was your next reaction? What did you do from that point on concerning your spirituality?
Well, from that point on, it took me back a peg, and I went back to the religion I was born to, but that wasn't it, and I still study the religion that I thought brought me close relationship to God.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't taken me away.
Your real question is how, on one hand, can you commit yourself to God, be it in any religion, and then watch tragedy occur in your own life? How do you justify the two things?
Yes, and then also...
It's a very good question.
I didn't get the question.
Oh, you didn't get the question. I guess the basic question is how, on one hand, can a person devote themselves to God and try to be spiritual, and then they watch bad things happen to them, in this case, the loss of a child, or I guess we've had prior to World War II, and in World War II, a whole group of people.
If we sincerely pray to God, then we feel our closeness and oneness with God. Then we develop a special quality or capacity within us. We can, at that time, safely and soulfully say that, let thy will be done. If we love someone, then if that person does something, then we ultimately feel that it is for a special experience that we have this catastrophe in the family. After all, God loves the child who has left us more than we do. When we love God, we feel that His capacity of love is infinitely more than we have. He has infinite capacities. We are His children, and the persons whom we have lost are also God's children. Father knows, parents know what is best for one individual, for each individual.
Mm-hmm. You still suffer the loss on a human level, though.
We do not suffer if our identification and oneness with God is complete. On the strength of our oneness, we shall feel that for a few years, God gave a particular person to stay with us, and now he is needed somewhere else. It's like human brother, human family. Now, if father has every right to tell a particular son of his that you stay here for 50, 60 years, then I will need you at another place. So you come and be of service to me at the new place. This will not suffer if our oneness is complete.
Mm-hmm.
If we have not established our oneness then with God, then we shall suffer miserably.
I think also you'd have to establish a belief in the hereafter in one form or another, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And I guess you'd be in trouble with your concept if you didn't believe in the hereafter.
Absolutely.
Yes.
If you do not believe in.
You're live on WMCA. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was calling you before the guru got on, but I talked to you and the guru. First of all, I'd like to know how much he's worth, and would he tell me how much he has in the bank and property as far as money and property? But
I think it's an embarrassing question to ask a guest, but I'll put it to him, and then if he wishes to answer, he can. Would you like to answer that question?
He can ask the bank manager. That I have my bank account with them. Marine Midland.
Marine Midland? Okay.
Yes, Mr. Schickhouse.
Get my son-in-law.
Sri Chinmoy, do you think that religious leaders should be involved in the everyday problems? Should they be protesting in the streets? Should they be involved politically?
If they want to, if the political leaders see in them some light, and if they want to have the light, then they can be involved. But if the political leaders do not see anything in them, then it will be useless for the spiritual leaders to be of any service to the politics or to the politicians.
Well, I'm not saying this is so, but what if the political leaders were plain evil men who took over control and all of the spiritual leaders withdrew? How would the cycle ever balance itself? How would the good people, good men, get back into office to rule?
Good men will come back to office to rule on the strength of their prayer to God. God listens to our prayer. He has to listen. It is God's creation. If he does not preserve his creation, who will? If I paint just one painting, I try to preserve it. If I compose a song, I compose. If you create anything, you try to preserve it. You try to perfect it. So God's creation is for perfection, and perfection is satisfaction. While you are creating painting, at times we see that this creation is not going to be at all good.
If God would take care of everything, why should anybody be active in any sort of a civic cause?
But God is acting in and through you and through me. God is within you, God is within me. So it is, we are not trying consciously to be of service to God. If we pray to God, let thy will be done, I will just become a mere instrument, then it is easier for God to act in and through me. But if we maintain our own individuality and personality, then God says, then take your own time.
Isn't God acting through the evil man too?
Yes, through, for his perfection.
For his perfection.
Yes, for God is acting in and through the evil person for perfection, and he is acting in and through you for more satisfaction, for more illumination, for good people, for more illumination, and for bad people, for perfection.
I guess I'm not perfect because I can't fully accept that. But given time, let's take a short break.
Eastern Airlines introduces charter pricing.
Here's a message. Briefly, you can give me your long-term view of things. Are you hopeful for mankind to make something out of this chaos?
I am extremely hopeful, for I know that creation has a special purpose. So we are making progress, but this progress is slow but steady.
Mm-hmm.
So if we believe in steadiness, and eventually, unerringly, we shall make tremendous progress. This progress is perfection, and perfection is satisfaction. So I have implicit hope for mankind.
I'll tell you, Sri Chinmoy's 13th anniversary celebration is going to be taking place at Hunter College Auditorium. That's Friday night at 7:30, and it's free. The Hunter Auditorium is at 69th Street and Park Avenue. I thank you very much for being with me this morning. It's a pleasure speaking with you.
Crime in New York.